let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America, coast to coast. Thank you for joining us today. A swift and deadly maelstrom is the true story of a horrible tragedy born out of ignorance and complacency. It's also the story of life-saving heroics, of the efforts of two young men suddenly trapped in the ensuing floodwaters to rescue three very young children, those who would tragically lose their mother in the disaster. It's also the fascinating account of how this family would pull itself back together, how the children's father and one of that evening's heroes would subsequently and slowly fall apart emotionally and physically over his lifetime. Thomas Moody Jr. is one of the young children who experienced the Great Norwich Flood firsthand, tragically losing his mother that horrific evening of March 6, 1963. In his book, he provides for the first time the revealing history of this catastrophic event. Today, a nuclear power plant supervisor living in Texas, Thomas Moody Jr., author of A Swift and Deadly Maelstrom, The Great Norwich Flood of 1963, A Survivor's Story, is back with us on This Week in America. Tom, welcome back to the program. It's great to have you back with us.
And it's great to be back, Rick. Thank you so much for the opportunity again.
It is our pleasure to talk about this and the remarkable story of that night and what all went into that and life after that. Let's go back briefly. And by the way, if you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you go to videos, you'll see the original video that we did with Tom and talking about the story. If you go to audio there, the podcast, you'll find the first interview. You can listen to that. But just setting the table for what happened, let's go back to March 6th of 1963. An event occurred that really, as we'll find out in the program, really didn't have to happen. But talk about what happened that night.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It unfortunately did not have to happen. It was a 100-year-old dam, Rick, in Mohegan Park in Norwich. The park is at the absolute high point in the city. And again, it was a dam built originally in the 1800s to foster water for the downtown area businessmen. It had never been built to any specification or with any real periodicity of maintenance or anything like that. So now you fast forward to modern times being 1963, and the dam had been notoriously leaking. It was an earthen dam, so trees and shrubbery had built on it. So this winter of 1962-63 was very, very bad. A lot of precipitation, a lot of freezing. This particular day, March 6th, it had rained also over an inch and a half. Park workers noticed a small leak late in the afternoon, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They called out their supervision, and it had leaked before. So they didn't give it any true priority. They monitored it, and as it turned out, later that night, it actually burst, and flooded the downtown area. My family lived on a street called Lake Street. As it turned out, as part of the mitigation downstream, once the dam burst, a teenager pounded on our window and said that the dam burst and to vacate. So my father, my mother, and my two brothers and I were on our way to my grandmother's house on the west side of town. Our neighbor, Tony Orsini, who lived upstairs, went with us. And as I had stated before, it was just pure timing. We made our way down Lake Street. The dynamic of the road was a downhill road, and we turned and made a left-hand turn in Lake Street Playground. The floodwaters at that moment just happened to hit us and knocked our car off the right side, which was another downhill. Component of the land. We ended up against a roof of a garage. My mother was getting us out of the car. My father and Tony were on this roof, And as she was handing out my youngest brother, the car shifted. She went under. My father had her hand. As the car shifted, her hand let go. She went under, and she ultimately drowned. And my father was going to go in after her, and Tony grabbed him, and fortunately grabbed him, because he would have also undoubtedly drowned also.
Yes.
We had to get off that roof very quickly because it was collapsing, and we made our way to a tree which was adjacent to that roof. And the tree, which is still there, actually saved us. We were up in the tree for over an hour, and after the water subsided, we got down out of the tree. We went to the hospital, obviously, for exposure, and that's how it happened. And it was unfortunate, because it didn't have to happen had that dam been looked after and inspected the way it should have.
The full story is in Tom's book, A Swift and Deadly Maelstrom, The Great Norwich Flood of 1963, A Survivor's Story. Thomas Moody, Jr., the author, is our guest on the program. We went into this in great detail in the first episode, and I'd encourage people to go back and podcast and on YouTube and listen and watch that. And furthermore, read about it in the book, because it is a story of ignorance and complacency. It's also a story of heroics. Tom just touched on that with Tony. It's also a story, as I mentioned, of a family pulling together. Let's talk about the role of your grandmother. That's your mother's mother. That was the venue that you were headed for that night, the tragic night that the dam burst. But talk about your grandmother, because she stepped up and responsible for pulling the family together.
Rick, I can't tell you what an amazing lady she was. She passed away in 1999 at 97 years old. And oh my God, she was 61 years old at the time. My mother was her youngest daughter of seven. And previously, it was March 6th that this happened. March 2nd was my fourth birthday. And it was a weird premonition that my mother had, because at that birthday party, she looked at my grandmother right in the eye and said, "If anything ever happens to my children, I want you to take care of them." And of course, my grandmother remembered that. And afterward, her children, my uncles, were very serious about splitting us up, my brothers and I, and taking each one of us. Well, my grandmother was adamant about taking us and keeping us and raising us, which she did. And we moved to low-income housing on the west side of town. There was a project development there, and she raised us. She got help from that project development for low-income rent, and kept us together and raised us with a real strong moral underpinning, high values. Of course, my father couldn't live there because of the income strategy, but he was always there. And of course he added to that. He raised us with a strong right and wrong. But my grandmother just and again, we're talking, I was the oldest at 4 years old, and my young middle brother was two, and my youngest brother Sean was only five or six months old. And so, you know, to think of it, a 61-year-old woman who had already raised, you know,
yes,
seven children of her own, and they were adult by then, and raising, you know, three ornery little boys, you know what I'm saying? And
yes,
just and as we turned out, you know, I'm proud to say my two brothers are great guys too. And everybody commented once we grew up, you know, how well she did, and you know, she was just an amazing lady, and to this day, you know, people just comment on what a great job she did, and you know, she didn't have to do that, but she did, and she took that on just for my mother. And so, you know, she is just marvelous, and you know, I'm approaching that age now that she took over.
Can you imagine having three young children that all of a sudden, you're not planning, all of a sudden you have three young children move in with you?
Yeah, and it's, you know, I'll tell you, not a lot of people would do that, you know, and
a new appreciation of what she went through. And on the video that will be up on YouTube, we see you at a memorial stone for your mother. Talk about, you were very young at the time, but she had a tremendous impact on your life and continues to, doesn't she?
Yes. The memorial was another thing. When I was doing the research for the book, that tree was always something. The area where she died, where my mom died, is incredibly still like it was in 1963. They repaired the area. There's a wall there, and that got washed away, obviously. But the area, it got repaired, but it's still incredibly like it was in 1963 after the flood. So I was able to go there, obviously, and sort of connoiter where our car was and, you know, where everything was. And I would always just stop and look at that tree and go and stand next to that tree. And I always wanted somehow, never thinking it could be done, to mark that tree historically. When I was doing my research, well, one time, when, I was doing a presentation for the National Historic, or the National Dam Association in Providence, Rhode Island, one of the, Norwich Historical Society, women, a woman named Roberta Vincent, who was one of their agents, was there with us, and she took it upon herself to do that. She got the tree named as a Connecticut historical notable tree. It's a sugar maple tree. And with the help of Tony Orsini, who actually funded it, got a memorial mounted, not right next to the tree because the tree is still on private property, but on the road right next to it. And the memorial is there. We had a ceremony for it. And it's in a the area, unfortunately, has gone way downhill, and it's in a very sketchy area of town. And I was a little worried that the memorial wouldn't survive, frankly, yes. But it's still there. It seems to get a lot of respect. And every time I go back home to Norwich, Connecticut, I always we always go by there and take a picture and things of that nature. And I was so impressed with Roberta and Tony to do that. And it's amazing that is there forever to memorialize my mother. And I'm so proud of that.
Thomas Moody Jr., our guest on the program, the author of the book, A Swift and Deadly Maelstrom, The Great Norwich Flood of 1963, A Survivor's Story. Book's available at Amazon. If you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can link on directly and get information on the book and order the book there as well. A few minutes left in the program. What impact did this have on Norwich? You talked about the fact that this certainly by far is not a thriving community today. What impact did it have emotionally on this town?
Norwich today, especially the downtown area, I would not describe as a very thriving area. If you go to Norwich right now, it looks incredibly like it did. I described the area where the flood occurred, and it looks still incredibly like it did in 1963. Many of the buildings that were impacted by the flood are actually still there and in serious disrepair. The upper portion of the town where the flood impacted, for that matter, the entire flood path looks incredibly like it did in 1963. The upper portion of the town where the flood hit, from where it hit my family on down, the buildings are actually still there. There's a factory, a huge factory where the J.B. Martin company that made textiles and velvet and everything, huge factory, still there, decaying away. Upstream of that, there was the Connecticut Beverage Company, the Lord Manufacturing Company. These buildings are still there in serious disrepair and just abandoned. And it's just incredible to see. The Norwich Bulletin newspaper went back into business. It was there. That was an incredible story that night. But that building is there. They've since left, and all of these buildings it's disappointing and to see.
Yes.
Because the town. And I'm not suggesting that the flood caused the town, obviously, to be like that. It was economic forces, Rick, that did that. But it's just so disappointing to go back to Norwich and see all that and know that, especially for these buildings that are decaying and abandoned away, the flood had a major, major impact to it. And it's just very sorrowful to note that. And know that this flood had such an impact on the town, and to say that it recovered, yeah, it did recover. However, the flood still to this day, in my opinion, has had such an impact on that town, and that was one of the drivers for writing this book too, was to point that out and to have that as a history for the people in that town to understand what was part of the past for that community.
Tal Moody with us on the program. I got a couple minutes left. What do you hope we get out of reading the book, A Swift and Deadly Maelstrom, The Great Norwich Flood of 1963, a survivor's story? Those people, those of us who do not live in that area, there are so many different stories within a story in your book. What do you hope we take away from the book?
That's a really great question. And my focus obviously was to get the true story out for the town, so that they would have the actual true details, because so many people had gotten it wrong. And two, I was really wanting the true story so that my children would know what happened to their grandparents on my mother's on my side. We live in Texas, and they're very familiar with my wife's side of the family. So I wanted my children to understand what happened to their grandparents on my side. For those that read it, that aren't familiar with what's going on, what happened to the town, or are familiar with the town, they to realize that tragedies happen and recovery is possible, and also to understand that the recompense for it is sometimes and a lot of times unfair. The recompense that my father got and the other victims of the town was absolutely not fair, and it was because had they paid out the recompense that was due for those folks, it would have broken the town financially. That town would have gone under financially. And they tried to make those folks understand that. And I'll tell you that it hurt, and it hurt my father. And he was bitter until the day he died. He realized that the loss of his wife and the tragedy that he went through was not paid back at all in any way, shape, or form. And I remember him telling me when they built the new dam and the ceremony to celebrate the building of the new dam, he wouldn't go anywhere near it. And that to me was very telling emotionally.
That,
and
yes.
So for people reading this book, it's to understand that, you know, tragedies like this hurt, and they hurt for a long time, and it can happen to anybody.
Well, you did a great job in capturing all aspects of the story, the The book is a swift and deadly maelstrom, the Great Norwich Flood of 1963, a survivor's story. Thomas Moody Jr. back with us on the program. Tom, it is always a pleasure. Thank you for spending some time with us once again. The book is available at Amazon. It is always a pleasure to have you here. Focused on letting your grandmother, a remarkable lady, and I thank you for sharing that story with all of us today. A remarkable lady that at age 61 took in three young Moodies and did an excellent job in raising all of you. Thank you for sharing that story.
Oh, man, thank you for having me back, Rick, and maybe my next book, if I can ever get it written, I'll be back again.
Need to do that. Whatever it is, you've got an open invitation to come back. Tom Moody Jr. with us on the program. The book is Swift and Deadly Maelstrom, The Great Norwich Flood of 1963, A Survivor's Story. You'll find it at Amazon. Link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.